Cross-site scripting attacks are one of the most pernicious and common attacks used on websites by attackers. They can be difficult to mitigate, but there's actually one tool that will make you completely safe. Let's mash on that. Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. Today, we're going to be talking cross-site scripting attacks and the content security policy headers. All right, so for those of you who are not familiar with cross-site scripting attacks, the idea is fairly simple. If you have a place on your website where somebody enter some information, and then that information is shown after a post back on the site itself, then you may be vulnerable to a cross-site scripting attack. So this could be something like somebody enters their name, and then up here you show their name. So if instead of entering their name, they enter perhaps some JavaScript, then they can run arbitrary JavaScript on your site. Now, that's not too big of a problem if they can only enter information that they'll see, because they could run arbitrary JavaScript on the website anyway. But it can be a problem if you have a site where they enter some information and then it's shown for all users. So think of a site like Wikipedia, where I might enter some information and then hit save, and now that's on the Wikipedia article. So it's possible that somebody could enter some script on the site that would allow them to steal passwords or redirect downloads or any one of a number of nefarious activities. So let's take a look at how that can happen and how we can mitigate that attack. So what I have here is a standard web application. This is actually the same web application that I was running for the HSTS headers, because I'm just too lazy to make another one. Yeah, sorry guys, super lazy right here. So on the page, I have put in a couple of script tags here that are going to show hello and then evaluate 5+3. So if you haven't encountered this eval thing in JavaScript before, this is just a mechanism for running any sort of code that appears in here. So this is actually going to execute this as if it was written in JavaScript. So we should have the result of 8 on the website. And if we head over to this site and refresh it, we can see that that is indeed a thing that happens. Also on this site, I have a place to enter my name. So let's go ahead and put in not my name. I'm going to put in this piece of script here. So unless your name happens to be an HTML tag containing JavaScript, it's unlikely that this is the right thing. So I'm going to submit this, and let's take a look and see what we get over here. So you can see that posted back here, I have that script. Now already, if you have been using an older version of ASP.NET, you may be surprised by this. Older versions of ASP.NET had built-in defenses against cross-site scripting attacks. If you posted anything containing HTML tags, those were considered unsafe and you'd get a big ugly error message. You could override it by specifying attributes here, such as allow HTML, or there's another one, validate request false, I think.
I wonder if the intention with that is that it would be more of a web server concerns. You might do that with Nginx or through some sort of handler in IIS. As opposed to in our ASP.NET app. I don't know, just a thought.
I don't know. Feel like that was kind of like a valid sort of defense. So that was done using request validation, but there is no request validation in ASP.NET Core. So we just kind of skip over that. Anyway, let's continue on this execution here. And you can see that the site prints out this message along with the other two messages here. At this point, you may be noticing, boy, that Simon guy, he's using the Microsoft Edge. He must be a good person who enjoys the Edge. Not so much, unless it's a fellow who plays the guitar. I am actually using it because if I come over here and I try the same thing under Chrome, I'm just going to pull up the developer console here. Okay, and let's throw that script tag in here. And oops, script tag, and hit submit. So same thing happens here, gets back to the server, all good. Comes back over here, we get hello 8, but we don't get that message that shows up. And in fact, if we go and inspect the place where we're printing that out, we just get an empty script tag. Over here in the console, we get warned that the cross-site scripting auditor refused to execute a script because the source code was found within the request. So that's a really kind of cool defense mechanism that's in place there that exists inside Chrome, but does not exist inside Edge. I'm actually a little bit grateful for that, because otherwise I don't know how I would have recorded this video. So you can see that one of the things that's mentioned here is the content security policy header. So this is a header that you can send to the browser that instructs it kind of what to trust. And there are a lot of options for this. I'm only going to just touch on a couple today, and then we might do a subsequent episode where we dig into some of the more advanced versions of this. So let's go and enable these content security policy headers on our website here, and we'll see how the website changes. All right, so I'm going to hit stop, and I'm going to flip over to my startup.cs, and in here, somebody has commented out, use content security policy headers here. So this is just an extension method in much the same way that we wrote the previous middleware here. So this is just going to load the content security policy middleware, and we nicely log information out. This might be a little bit too much information, but for the purposes of this video, it will be useful. And then we're going to add this header here. So we add content security policy, and at the moment, I'm just giving it some very easy rules. I'm just saying default source self. So that basically means you can run any scripts from yourself. You can add many additional things here, such as running scripts from other specific locations. There's a really cool header that you can add here that if your site encounters a violation of the content security policy, it can post that message back to an endpoint on your site. So I found that quite useful when I was implementing content security policy on an older site, that I could turn that on and see kind of what the violations were and have them posted back to me, so that I could go and fix those quickly, as opposed to having the end users come and say, hey, this thing that used to work now doesn't work anymore. So we've got these headers in place. Let's go load up the website again here. That's gonna load up, I think, in Chrome for me, but we'll flip to the Edge version. Okay, so let's go reload this site. I may be stuck at a breakpoint here, or it may just be slow. Is it even running? Yes, okay. Right, so this has reloaded. I'll just do it once more, hopefully faster this time. And you notice immediately that we didn't get either of those two pop-ups that we had last time. So those are the ones that were just in our layout here. And we're not going to get either of those, because this content security policy, one of the things that it says is that any inline scripts on your page, so anything inside a script tag, it simply will not execute them. So neither of these get executed. And in fact, the eval here would not have been executed anyway, even if it had been in an included file, because eval is disallowed with these default content security policy headers. So the normal attack vector here, so somebody will enter a script tag and it'll be printed back to the page and will show up like this. In our case, we just printed it out raw here, which is how we managed to get it to show up.
Excellent.
And by putting these headers in place, it won't execute that anymore.
So one that, simple that header make you pretty much like safe against cross-site scripting
against any sort of attacks that are. Yeah, so it is a little bit painful, like the first time you do it, because you have to think to yourself, how am I gonna bootstrap my site without having some script on the page? Because it's very common that you'll do something like, you know, you start up your site somewhere, even if you're using like some sort of Angular or Aurelia or something, there'll be some sort of like start the site thing here that you'd have, but you can just move that off to a separate file and be a little bit intelligent about how you load your files and modules. I have in the past just taken a look at what the kind of URL is to decide which script to execute, but with single page applications, you could just take a look at whatever the route is. And
yeah, in a way, it kind of forces better separation. Router,
which can be defined
anyway,
outside of
it's not a bad thing.
Embedded script tag.
Now, we did have to, we were going through this before the recording, we did have to jump through some hoops to actually make this work, right? The cross-site scripting didn't work the first try, right?
Right. So the what we had to do is we had to go and like tell Razor to just print it out raw and don't encode it, because if you just try and print out this kind of raw thing here, it's going to escape it for us. So if we go back over here and try and do the scripting attack again, then it just prints out like this escaped thing. So if you go and you
ampersand GTs,
it's actually going to be. Yes, I thought so. It seems to be just printing it out here. This must just be the way that Internet Explorer interprets it. It must do the escaping, or must interpret the
source,
escaping for me. But this is going to be like ampersanded out. If we could look at the, if we can view the source, if that's different from. There it is, right there. So cool. Yeah, it's a bunch of escaped stuff right there. Okay, great. Well, I think that was pretty much everything I wanted to cover today.
That's great. Thanks, Simon. And thanks, everyone, for joining us again here on the ASP.NET Monsters. Remember to like, comment, share, and send us an email with your comments and questions, just like these folks. Here we have Cecil Phillip reaching out to us on Twitter asking for a show request. He says, could you do an episode on iApplication Model Convention? And we would love to. Simon and I actually didn't know what that was when it came up, but James did some research and he's actually written a blog post on it already, and we're planning to do an episode on that shortly. So thank you very much for the show suggestion, and send us a Twitter private message and we'll send you one of these handy dandy ASP.NET Monster stickers.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the show suggestion. After 65 episodes, 66 episodes. we could definitely use some suggestions.
Absolutely.
Right. Thanks, everybody. So we'll see you on the next episode of the ASP.NET Monsters.
Bye.
Bye.